Hello everyone.
Hi everyone.
Today we have a special guest with us, someone I have been really keen on getting onto the podcast and so glad and honored she's finally here.
So we have with us Deborah Martin. She is a world-renowned intuitive healer, three-time near-death experiencer and cancer survivor whose life's work is to help people experience the miraculous love and healing power of God. An International Research Lab certified medium with the Winbridge Research Center, she has developed a unique healing technique that unites mediumship and energy healing in a way not found anywhere else. Featured on A&E documentaries, Hay House Radio, Coast to Coast AM, and three Gaia Beyond Belief episodes with George Noori, she is also the author of 6 books, including Proof of Miracles. Through private sessions, global group healings, and divinely guided meditations, Deborah brings comfort, transformation, and hope, reminding people that miracles are real and that nothing is too big or too small to heal. So welcome, Deborah.
Welcome to
the
show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Yes, thank you. And honored, very honored.
The honor is all ours, yeah. And the pleasure. So I think, frankly, the first time I came across Deborah was on George Noori's show. And I was like, I saw all 3 of your episodes and I started reading more about you. And I got to know you have the Army for Love, the meeting, monthly meeting that happens. And I instantly jumped on and have been attending your, I have been a part of the Army for Love since like, few months now, almost a year, and it's been amazing. And we are going to talk more about those experiences. However, to begin with, for the listeners who don't know what an intuitive healer means, could you just talk a little about what does that mean? What is the work in just in a nutshell, to talk a little about what you do?
Okay, so as an intuitive healer, what that means is I'm working through energy, and I developed a healing technique through God. So God guided me on how to do these healings. And so what I do, I can explain kind of how it works, is you can be anywhere in the world. Okay. And that's really important because you can be in your own sacred space. I know nothing about you. You can share things with me if you want, where I can put it into my prayer prior to doing the session, or you don't have to say anything at all. And that's, it's totally up to you. And so then what I do is I prepare the room, I go into prayer, and then I lay down on a healing table. And I place, all I have is your picture, and if anything else that you wrote, I place that on my abdomen. And I start intuitively feeling what's going on in your body. Now, I do ask a beam of light to come into the room, and that beam of light is God. And so the words and what I'm feeling is directly coming from God. So I'll say things that they may have even forgotten about, like traumatic things that happened when they were a child. Sometimes I'll be like, oh my gosh, that was such an amazing session. Now they're in their sacred space, not even, you know, listening or tuning in. They're just being quiet on their spot. And so then when they do turn in and they listen to it, they're like, oh, I felt that at that same time, or I was throwing up at that same time, or she said that she had that a headache. I have a headache. So it's really miraculous because I really am not energetically, right, tapping into you like a psychic, right? Because we're not even, I'm not seeing you. I've not met you. There's nothing that I would know. And so then I get these downloads and I go through the healing. And sometimes it's very, very painful. I have to feel it. So I only do one healing a day because some healings will take me out for the rest of the day. Like I'm just exhausted. And others, they won't. You just never know what it's going to be like. But everyone's different and unique because we're all different and unique. And so what happens then is when I finish, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was like watching a movie. Like you're telling what you're feeling. You're seeing visions. You're feeling God. Sometimes I see loved ones come into the room. Sometimes we take a spiritual journey. We go to another dimension. And we're just like, I go, okay, now I'm going to send that somewhere across the world and go, whoa, what are they going to think? Right. Yeah. And it's just so miraculous when they email back and go, yeah, how did you know that? Or how did you know I was wearing a kidney bag on my left? Or how did you know that I had this trauma when I was a little girl? Or how did you know I was hiding in a closet because my parents were having, you know, an argument? Like so many different things. So it happens emotional, physical, and spiritual.
Right.
And when we talk about a miracle, people will have an expectation of what a miracle is, right?
Yeah.
I always say, don't come in with an expectation because you're limiting it. Allow it to be limitless and receive it the way it's supposed to be, because it might heal something that you don't even know that you have, or some things will happen immediately. It'd be like turning on the light switch and go, wow, I feel so like free now. And other times it can be a healing process where it takes some time. And oftentimes it's like that. It's like, imagine you going through a real physical surgery and now you come home and you just say, well, I don't want to pay attention to my body. I'm just going to be fine. Well, you can't, because you just went through a major surgery. You're tired. Your body has to heal. These are spiritual surgeries. I'll see spiritual surgeons come in the room. God assists those spiritual surgeons. I might feel loved ones come into the room. They might want to connect with a loved one that they've lost. Then those are miraculous in itself, because they might feel them, embrace them again, smell them, hear words from them. So they just, there's so many levels in a healing and what can transpire. But I go in going, I'm removing my humanness aside and allowing God to orchestrate this. Let's do it. Let's go.
That's amazing. Yeah. So basically, when you actually get that picture of another person onto you, so it's like you're sort of embodying their persona onto you, their energy.
I become their proxy, is what I say. I become their proxy. That's a very good question. Yeah. So I ask God, let me see, hear, feel, and voice what this person needs to hear, see, hear, and feel.
Yeah.
So if I'm feeling something that needs to come out, like it might be a blockage, I'm going to feel that pain and describe where it's at. If I feel like, okay, there's a lot going in the mind and maybe it's emotional or mental issues, right? Things that are going on with the heaviness with the world or who knows what's going on in their life. Then I'll feel things working on in the brain. It's like I said, it's limitless. And there's many times that I'll go to an area and I'll go, okay, I don't want to limit it by saying it's just the liver, right? But I'll say, I think it's in the liver, but it's over in this area. So sometimes it's very specific. And then I'll hear, well, don't limit that because we're going to through everything.
Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. Before we dive in and know more about your story and more of the process, I was just curious, and I think even our listeners, we mentioned that there was an international research lab certified, like your mediumship is kind of, did something on, can you explain more about it? What exactly does International Research Lab Certified Medium mean?
Yes. So I was certified by Dr. Gary Schwartz and Dr. Julie Beischel. And that was through the Veritas Lab. And they had seven steps. So I want to make sure that I'm saying this correctly. It's on their website, winbridge.org. And it tells you the exact protocol that we had to go through. But it was a quadruple blind experiment. And so there's no way you could debunk it, right? Yeah. So a lot of people were having a hard time passing it. And they were having a hard time finding the right mediums. So it really gave me the confidence to have science, you know, study me and see that what I'm getting is correct. It kind of was like my backbone to say, okay, I can do this. And so it's a badge of honor to me to say that I got to work with them and I got to be tested by them and be use their title saying that I've been certified medium through the Winbridge. And anybody that wants to check that out, they really should, because it's amazing work that they do.
Yeah, we can replace the links along with your website and the show notes. And also, apart from that, I just wanted to ask you that, starting with your story, and before I get there, I just wanted to add one more thing that I can also testify about Deborah's healing, because the first or the second session that we attended in Army for Love, Juhi was not even like there on the screen. I was there on the screen and she was sitting beside me. And of course, it was on loudspeaker.
I guess during the session, I was feeling everyone's emotions so deeply, profoundly. And I started crying, bawling my eyes out for other people. And I started feeling so much that I think that healing came to me instantly. And I got my, I had some cavity or something and it got arrested. So I was really happy for that. And
it happened instantly like that. We should probably explain. So Army for Love is a community where people gather all around the world. It's free. Yeah. And at the top of the hour, we do a mini healing session.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's where this all transpired for you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Here, I remember the smile you had on your face, like, I'm not feeling this anymore. And I wasn't even part of this. She didn't even know that I was on the screen.
Yeah.
And that's what's so miraculous about it is we put our intentions out. So you probably put your intention out that night, like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And then
I did it for other people.
Yeah. She didn't even do it for herself.
Yeah.
So and look at that. You gave and you received.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So grateful for that. Yeah.
And now I wanted to jump in your story. Sorry, you had something to say?
Oh, no. I was just saying that was just a miraculous time. And we see on that platform, we see a lot of miracles happen instantly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome to see and witness.
Yeah, always there are some stories coming up about people. They, like you said, a certain thing and exactly somebody was feeling that exact same emotion. And you just surfaced it for them and then it was amazing to see the transformation within that, just in that 1 hour. It's crazy. It's great.
It is crazy. And you'll see too that people have similarities. Like the topic kind of forms. It'd be like, okay, I don't know if you remember that one was on cancer and it was all night. It was all on cancer and everybody there was dealing with cancer. And it's like, you know, spirit gives us the guidance. And then, and then everybody starts talking. It's all connecting. And we all work together as one big happy family. It's wonderful.
And even apart from the healings, also there are some messages that come through during the healing. And you're speaking something. And even after that, we are sitting and discussing about it. And that message is so relevant to almost all of us in some or the other way. And I can also say for my own self, like there were like two times when it was something exactly I wanted to hear or some signal I was waiting for and it came through in the way of a message. Like the other day in one of the healings, I think there was like a few months ago, maybe last year, you spoke about the creator giving you a key or giving all of us a key. And I don't remember the specifics, but that same, like the last few days before that session, I was actually thinking about something and something was stuck. And then you spoke about the key and then something started making more sense to me. And yeah, I mean, I think there's so much going on during the sessions. It's really amazing.
A lot of synchronicities.
Yeah, exactly.
Synchronicities. Yeah, that golden key was really amazing. That was in the healing and just like God handed us this golden key and each of us had it. It's almost like it was like, here's your golden key, create your own reality, right? And you have the key.
Yeah. Okay.
It was beautiful.
Since you're mentioning that, you hear the spirit sometimes or you feel. So does that mean the spirit is constantly connected with you or you can constantly communicate with the spirit? What's it like?
I'm just opened up all the time. Now, I do have boundaries. Like, I don't mind hearing it for myself. But if I'm going to go out and about, I don't want spirit bothering me about somebody else. Oh, that person has cancer or that person. I'm a loved one of that person. Can you nudge them? Tell them I'm there. I'm like, no. No, you know, I have to set boundaries because that's ethically not okay. You don't know if that person's ready.
You just shut it on, like on, switch it on, switch it off.
You can. So many people I've worked with, like even kids and teenagers, they were almost suicidal because spirit was always bothering them. And they were like, I don't know how to turn it off. And all I had to say is like, you have the power. Just tell them, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop bothering me. And they're like, that's it? That's it. So it is. You have to have communication with them. Now, spirit already knows how I work. So it's just kind of an automatic with me. I don't have to say it anymore because I do it it's just constant throughout my every day, right? Once you start working with spirit and spirit's part of you in everything that you do, then words are going to come through at any time.
So were you born with this gift, or did it come to you after the NDE? So when exactly did this started happening?
That's a very good question. So I saw a spirit at the age of 4, and I was really scared. They would come at night. Yeah, they would come at night.
What was it like?
It was like seeing, like laying in bed and seeing faces, and I'm looking at the faces. I'm like, I don't know who you are, and you're kind of scary. So I would turn looking the other way, and then another face would come, and I'm like, all right, well, what's your name? And then I'd hear, like, if it was Mark, I'd try to sketch with my nail in the wood desk next to me, my dresser, right? I'm going to concentrate on that. And I always wanted to leave my room. Mom, can I come downstairs? And they're like, no, go to bed. So it was scary. And that fear closed that door. And then through my NDEs, it started opening those doors. It's like a nudge, an awakening, an awareness. I still had the choice of what I was going to do with it, if I was going to go down that path or not go down that path. But I asked later in life, saying, why'd you do that to me when I was a child? Why'd you scare me? And they go, we weren't there to scare you. We were there to protect you. You took it as being frightened, but we were there watching over you. We wanted to communicate with you because we know you have the gift. And so that's what happens with a lot of children. They have the gift, but it can be frightening. They're like, I'm not going to tell my mom. She's going to think I'm crazy. She doesn't talk about spirit, right? So we have the abilities because there's nothing else in the world bombarding our thoughts. We're very innocent at those young ages. So we're very open. And so with my children, having children, I didn't want to force it on them. I believe you don't want to ask a lot of questions. You just want them to say things to you naturally, right? And so my second son, he has the ability. He always had the ability, and he chooses not to use it. But there's times I'm sure he uses it for his own self. But there would be times when he was in high school that I'd be like, okay, I have to go into a session. I'm doing a reading right now. And he'd be like, oh, that guy's been hanging out in the hallway for the last couple of days. I'm like, what? You know, like, and so he actually did a whole TV show called The Teenage Medium. And he got to be like commercial on, what is that? Super Bowl Sunday. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So he had so much fun with it. And then my youngest daughter, she would be like, okay, so I'd see a loved one sitting in the chair, and I'm like, it's a Sunday. You don't have your session till Monday. I'm not talking to you. And I go, I don't even know who you are yet, like which person I'm going to be talking to. So you just need to sit over there. I'm blocking you out. And I go in the bathroom, you know, you're brushing your teeth in the morning. Daughter runs in. She's always like, oh, hey, who's that guy sitting in the chair? I'm like, oh, now I have to pay attention to you, right?
Literally seeing it, or is it like a feeling?
That's what she just like, oh, hey, who's that guy in the chair? Like, so matter of fact.
So she can really see it, like
it's visible.
I didn't ever ask. You want to let them just not be frightened of it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, so what do you see about that guy? And she goes, he has a hat on. And immediately I knew that it was my husband's grandfather. And I said, and I took her by the hand and I took her in the hallway and I had her look at this one picture we have him. I go, is this who you saw? She goes, oh yeah, that's him. And so it's like, okay. So now she's running and telling my former husband that, and he's all, that's cool. That's cool. But it's not so cool when they show up and we're going to bed at night. And I say, oh man, he's sitting in that chair. He's like, why'd you do that? I was afraid to even get up to go to the bathroom. Like, he's not going to hurt you. So yeah, they would just show up. And so I tried to say, please don't do that. And it wasn't in a harmful way. He ended up coming through because he had a very strong message to give us. We almost were robbed the weekend before. And my husband was out of town. And me and my daughter were sitting on the couch watching TV. And the patio door was open. And I heard Spirit say, close the door, Deborah. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to that. Closed it, locked it. Now there's no windows, and we had like floor to ceiling windows, and it all just opened up to the wild backyard. So I was like, no, we're fine. We're fine. I went to bed, and the next morning at like 7 a.m, I got a knock on my door, and there were police officers. And they said, did you have anything happen last night? And I said, no. And they go, do you mind if we go through your side gate and kind of look around? I go, no, that's fine. So they come back and they go, well, your side gate was open. Do you ever leave that open? I go, no, because we have a dog run there. We would never leave that open. And they said, well, your neighbors were robbed and they went through the patio door in the backyard and 4 other neighbors were robbed as well.
Wow.
And so at that moment, I knew that he was there and protected us. That's why he came through that following week. And one of the prayers I always say, which might help people when they're scared or they're at home or they have an incident like that where they feel unsettled, I always say, God, I need you to place an angel on my house. And then I need you to surround my house in a white bubble, protect it from the north, the south, the east, the west, every door and every window. And then I feel completely at peace. And I did say that night. And so the angel directed it to another house. Mine was too bright.
Wow. So Deborah, there are some people who say that I can't visualize. Mm. So for such people, how can they really get in touch with that component or like place this healing around them? It's just by having a feeling that I want this to happen. What can possibly be done?
Just saying it. Just saying it. You don't have to feel it. It's kind of like just saying the word shield. At that moment, once you have that relationship with God and you say, shield me, it's protect me. I say shield my car when I go on a long vacation, or sometimes even when I run, you know, down to Target or the grocery store, I'll say, shield my car. You know, after 2 NDEs, I'm going to shield myself as much as I can, especially since both were in car accidents. Yeah.
But now speaking about your NDEs, and especially the fact that you mentioned that after the NDEs, your abilities really grew. So could you please talk more about what happened? What were they like? What was it?
Okay, so my first NDE was in a car accident, and it was the same night Princess Diana had passed. And I can remember being out with friends, watching the whole thing on TV, and I was a single mom, and it was time to leave, and I was like, don't get in the car. Just don't get in the car. And I'm hearing that. I didn't use my mediumship abilities at that time. I didn't know why I was getting a premonition. I didn't know what premonition was.
Yeah.
And my friends are like, you're just, you know, over panicked because of what we just saw. So I got into this sports car. I was sitting in the back seat and I had a girlfriend, the driver, and in the passenger seat. And we were going down the freeway. And it was a 4-lane freeway. And I immediately knew we were going to be hit. And I go, no, no, no. In my mind, I'm going, no, 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 no. I'm a single mom. No, you have to save us. At that very moment, bam, we were hit. And we were hit by a truck that had no windows, you know, like a utility truck. And it came across the fast lane and clipped us. And we spun and took out 40 feet of guardrail. Now, if you look at the pictures in my book, you would say nobody survived that car. There was just a little piece of the back seat for me to sit in. We couldn't get out. It was all metal. We couldn't open doors. And there was a man that came to our door and he opened it like effortlessly. And he picked each of us up and carried us to the embankment. And I can remember him saying, you're going to be okay and I'll see you again. And it's like, no, my ring, I had a ring on my finger and it was causing my finger to bleed. And I said, this is really hurting. Can you help me get this off? And he put it in his mouth. I have the ring with the teeth marks. I put it in my book. Yeah. And he bit it off and he took it off and he gave it to me and he went to the left. Now, at that same moment, there was a lot of commotion going on. There was fire trucks and cars coming from the right. So I immediately looked this way. And when I looked back, he was gone and nobody's ever seen him. Now, he kissed my other friend, too, on the forehead and said the same thing. So it wasn't like I was hallucinating or that I was in shock. It was there. So that opened up, like, where was this person? Was this divine intervention? Was this an angel that came? I need to start going to conferences. I need to open this up. And that opened my abilities, you know, like, what is the afterlife? What is it all about? Second NDE was also a car accident. I was just sitting in a turn bay, which is a left-hand turn, and you're waiting to go into the neighborhood. So you're going to cross another street. So I'm just sitting there. I have no premonition, just fine. And before I know it, I'm out of my body and I'm looking down at my car. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to survive that. And now I'm seeing a big truck carrying like utility tractors behind it. And it's going to come over me. And now I feel this big being behind me. It says, are you ready? And I knew what that meant. It meant, are you ready to die? Right. I'm like, no, I'm a single mom of three kids. No, I need to go back. Instantly, I was in the backseat of my car that was now crushed. Almost like it was a Honda Accord, and it was crushed into like two-door. And so I'm in the backseat again, mouth full of glass. The seat had broke. All windows were shattered, and everything from the inside was in the street. So a police officer comes to the door. He's like, I'm so sorry. A man that was in a diabetic seizure hit you. And so he was going about 75, and I'm what stopped him. So a helicopter was coming to get him because he was seriously injured. Then the other driver, he's standing there, and the officer goes, are you okay? And he goes, no, I'm not okay. I should have crushed her. But in a split second, somebody took my steering wheel and put me into oncoming traffic. I don't know how that happened. I'm really shook. When he said those words, I'm like, download. I saw that. And so at that moment, it shifted me. Like, I just heard spirit. I just was in another dimension. Okay. So now that started open my mediumship. I want to hear more. I want to connect more. And then it opened quick. I started just practicing on friends and whatnot. And then I got tested with Winbridge. And from that point on, life was good. Life was going really, really good. And then I ended up years later getting really, really sick. Mm. When I was really, really sick, that I was seeing at Mayo Clinic, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I lost the ability to hold my bowels. I was, gosh, maybe 90 pounds. I would lay in a bed in a fetus position. Yeah. And I was in extreme pain all the time. If I took one sip of water, just one sip of water, I would be like, I'm having labor. And I was like, oh my gosh, nobody was helping me. So I just was like, this isn't a quality of life. Plus, I'm not really giving any quality to my family. I'm just laying in bed. And so I started asking God to please take me. I just want to die. And there was one day when I was laying in bed and I saw spiritual surgeons come into my room. Now, being a medium, I'm not afraid, right? It was like, I remember one guy asking me, like, were you afraid when you saw somebody coming with a knife? Like, doo-doo-doo-doo. Like, no, I was totally fine. So they proceeded to open my abdomen, and I was in excruciating pain. And I was like, I know I have to get through this. Mm-hmm. It was like they were suctioning out. Imagine like a strawberry trying to go through a straw. You know, it was so painful. So I was like, how am I going to do this? So I decided I was just going to close my eyes and remove my mind from that specific what was going on in the room. What can I just concentrate on? So I took a deep breath. And as I took a deep breath, I came out of my body. I started floating. And I was like, oh, now this spot feels really good. And then I'm like, now I'm starting to see things. And I'm like, whoa, where am I? Like, okay. And it's all surrounded in white light. And I come to this space where I'm all alone and I feel like I'm standing on clouds. And I'm like, now what? Maybe I'm just supposed to stay here. And now I see this beam of light coming towards me, and I see these hands like this. And now I see my body being held in those hands. So now I'm like, I never put two and two together till after that I was standing in spirit watching, right? Wow. So I automatically know that this is God. He's holding me. I could feel the love. I wasn't scared. I was like, follow me, proceed. So we do. My body gets placed on a beam of light. There's a coffin next to it. It looks like Snow White. So I'm like, oh, can I go in there? I really want to try that out. And I'm like, oh, probably shouldn't. You know, I'm talking, probably shouldn't go there. So I was like, now where do we go? And he's like, we're going to go into that dome. And I said, why do we have to go into a dome? And he said, well, we're going to a dome because what I'm going to speak to you about, nobody else in the universe needs to hear. And I'm like, okay. So it felt like I was actually sitting at a table without really seeing the table, right? But I felt like I was. And communication was through the mind. You weren't really hearing it. You didn't have to speak it. It was like telepathically. And the being once again stood behind me, right? The energy I could feel. And now I have this lifeline contract in front of me. And he's like, we all are born with one. I'm like, what? And so I'm looking at it. And I didn't look from the previous. I didn't look, you know, what's to come. I just was with this page. And on this page, there were some words that were on there. And one of them said, you know, you'll be health. And it was health and prosperity and voice. And I really questioned some of those. I said, health, it has to be healthy. I'm not going to go back unless I'm healthy. So it changed. It's like being direct with your words, right?
Yeah.
And then I thought voice was like, oh, I'll just continue being a medium. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Right. So then he's like, well, you need to sign this because you're on borrowed time. You need to sign this and I'll sign it too. So I was giving an oath that I was going to go back and do this mission and signed it on 1/21/12. All numbers are reversible. And so is this, meaning my illness. So I was like, okay, all right. So I said, can I see my parents while I'm here? And he's like, well, no, you're not in heaven. You can't see them because you'll not want to go back. I was so bummed. And then I'm like, well, I'm feeling really healthy and I'm feeling full of love and I'm not in any pain. Do I have to go back right now? He's like, yes, you have to go back right now. So at that moment, I felt like I was just kind of floating backwards, you know, just lightly. And I can remember going to my body, going, taking a gas like you came up from underwater, right? And then I could feel my body like almost like an air mattress, like you go in.
Wow.
And I was like, what just happened? Am I the same person? I need to write all this down because I'm going to forget it. You never forget something like that. That's like hits you to the core. But you think at that moment, like, oh, wow, what just happened? Spiritual surgeons were not in the room anymore. And I was not immediately healed. I was journaling. Is there any trauma that I was holding on to? I was giving gratitude for what took place. And I knew I was standing in my oath. I saw healthy. I'm going to be healthy. And things, it took about 6 months total, but everything came back without the help of doctors. Wow. So I never knew what was wrong with me. And I asked God, why didn't I get a diagnosis? This is important for people because we all seem that we want to know and have an answer. Sometimes it's better not knowing, because what I would have did is I would have owned it and said, oh, I had this, or I still have this. It's still part of me. So I never had to say I had it or had to own it. So that was a blessing in disguise. That opened my healing abilities. Right? Because now I'm healing myself and seeing how God healed me and how spiritual surgeons came in. And so now I'm being told, use spiritual surgeons and allow the voice to be my voice. I have to blow my nose real quick. Sorry. I started practicing on people. And I remember it was a friend of my former husband's dad was their daughter. And she had tongue cancer and she was going to go into surgery and she was most likely going to wake up with no tongue. So I said, well, I'll do what I can do. But I think what's really important is anybody that's doing healing or work for others, don't take on the responsibility. Once we take on the responsibility, we think it's us doing it. if we just all of a sudden like, well, this is a big issue. Oh my gosh. Then we're limiting it to what we think is too hard, right? Mm-hmm. God didn't make these titles of, you know, like some of these undiagnosed or uncurable diseases. He didn't make those titles. We did. So don't put power to the titles, and don't, when you're healing other people, don't take the responsibility. So I didn't. I was like, I'll just do what I can do, right? So I opened myself up. And I was her proxy laid on the table. She was in her place in another state. And I could feel like my pain in my tongue, a lot of pain in my tongue. And so she went in for surgery like a few days later, and she came out and her tongue was fine. And they were just amazed.
Wow.
So they didn't have to cut it. Now, I know she still had to go through other different treatments and stuff, but they were amazed that it wasn't as bad as they thought that it was. And so people will say, well, was that a miracle? Was that not a miracle? It's up to you whether you want to own it or not own it, but be grateful for it either way. That's right? True. And that's where it's like, I don't need kudos for what just came through. Yeah. Right? I'm just grateful that she had that outcome.
Yeah.
Right.
And surprisingly, it somehow didn't stop there, because as we were speaking earlier, you were diagnosed with cancer, right? After the three NDEs, which was like already so crazy that it happened, and then suddenly cancer. So would it be okay if you're comfortable sharing a little about your cancer journey?
Yes. So I had a hemorrhoid, and I was seen by a doctor, a rectal doctor, and it was bothering me. And so I said to the doctor, is there anything we can do? And at that time, she's like, no, we just want to leave it. There's nothing we can do. Just, you know, it'll calm down. So I proceeded to go home. 4 months later, I woke up to a voice saying, you need to get this out now. Yeah. When you hear such a strong message, you obey, you listen, you don't even question it. It's like such a strong, knowing and powerful moment. It was also very scary because I didn't know what that, why do I have to get this out? So I went back to the doctors and she's like, why are you here? I told you we're not going to remove this. And I said, because I want it removed. And she's like, no, we don't remove this. You're going to be in more pain after remove this. I said, intuitively, I need to know. I need to have this out because I have a knowing this needs to have to come out. And she goes, well, so my whole point with that is saying that trust yourself. You know your body more than the doctors. So I proceeded to say, I'm asking for this to be out. And I can remember being bent over and she was still arguing it with me. And she was making it kind of like scary. She's like, okay, get the scissors, you know? And I'm like, this is really cruel. I think she was mad that I wasn't listening to her. And when you think about that, look at the strength and the words that God gave me. You need to get it out now. And I fought her. I'm going to do this. I know I have to. So she takes it out and she even questioned whether she should take it in for biopsy. And I'm like, no, it should go in for biopsy. So 4 days later, I got a call and she's like, Deborah, I have to tell you, you have cancer. And at that point, we didn't know how far along it was. And so I had some scans and it was showing that I had mass in my rectum, my anal canal, and then I also had cancer in my groin, my left groin. So we proceeded to go through more tests to make sure it wasn't in my stomach and liver and any other places. But if I would not have listened to her, I would have just left it in and it would have been too late. This is something that's silent, right? So it was a blessing when you hear a voice and you do not understand it, just pay attention and honor it. And really, I knew immediately what that meant, that it was for my hemorrhoid. I knew immediately. But so then I had to go through the cancer and I was like, okay, God, I went through NDEs. Like, why this now? I was in the best shape I ever was. It was, life was so great. And I'm like, I don't understand. And so I went through the cancer. And as I was going through the cancer, I would lay down on the healing table, or even when I was in radiation treatment. So that was my God time. So here I am laying on the healing table and I'm hearing, love yourself and love your cancer. Do not fight it. Fighting it's resisting it. Talk to it. What lessons does it have to teach you? And that really was so helpful and freeing, because now I'm like, okay, I'm going to love this no matter how painful it is or what I'm going through, even if I'm having a bad day. I'm going to also find one piece of joy in my day, even if I'm having a horrible day. You don't have to search for joy. It could be looking at the bird outside. It could be putting music on. Find that one piece because it raises that vibration. But as I went through this whole cancer, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the radiation too, my God time, because going into having radiation can be very scary. It's a big machine. Yeah. And I would tell the nurses when they would take the white blanket and put it over me, like, would you like a warm blanket? I'm like, yes. That was my God blanket. I knew I was being held by God. Okay.
Yeah.
And while I was on that table, God told me to form a group called Army for Love.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what that meant at that time.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you kind of put it in your sacred cup, wait. And so I thought Army for Love at that time meant build your army around you as you're healing, as you're going through cancer. Know that God is with me on all four sides. Spirit's with me, guiding with me. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fail. But also build your army. And what does your army look like? Some people like to tell everybody, you know, put it on their Instagram, put it on their Facebook. This is what I'm going through. That's their way of support. For me, it was very selective because I wanted to make sure the people I was saying weren't being like telling everybody like, poor Deborah. I didn't want anything negative, right?
Yeah.
So I had to be selective. So I was building my army. And then what I learned from cancer, I used to call it my beast. And it ended up being my beauty and the beast. I saw beauty in the end. And what I learned is no matter what the outcome was going to be, I was going to be okay if I was here or on the other side. And that freed me from all the unknowns. Because the unknowns spiral us. All the what ifs don't serve us.
Yeah.
But it helped me in my healings. Once again, it's like my mediumship was heightened. I was given the healing. You know, all these things led me to who I am today. And what cancer did for me is here I'm before cancer. It's like being like looking through a glass door and seeing my client there. Right. Now, after I went through if somebody has cancer, I'm in that room. I've had that experience. I know what they really, truly felt. I can feel their emotions on such a deep level where I'd have no clue, no clue. Yeah. And so that's the beauty that came out of it so that I can help others. And it also showed me how to heal, like how to really self-love. We need to love ourselves and who we are, because so many of us want to be, I want to be thinner. I want to be taller. I want to have this. I want to be like that person. It's like, if God was in the room and hearing you say this, it's like, did I not create you the way I wanted you to be? Are you not my masterpiece? I love you the way you are. You need to love yourself the way you are. So I learned a lot through cancer, and I wrote a book on cancer, and I put my prayers in there and my journey in there so other people can read it and also use those prayers. But I did get a message from a person that read the book, and she's like, I never got to show my husband what the radiation machine looked like. Thank you for putting a picture of that in there. So now he understands what I went through. Mm-hmm. So no, it was helping in ways that I would never even known.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Deborah's book is a must read, and especially on that, as we were speaking previously about the lesson that came out of you having cancer and why you had it. Because with one of my clients, this client went through a lot of trauma, a lot of abuse, so much that this client literally lost the will to live. And when I met this client at that point in time, I was so much under pressure. Oh my God, like what is going to happen? But also understanding that it's never, like, as you mentioned, never us who's doing it. It's always the higher self, the creator, doing that healing.
But we do have the will and the want to do this for them. And that's what you're feeling. You're coming from a place of love and compassion. And that love is what heals. So we do humanly feel that way, but then we give it up to God. Yeah.
Yeah. So that intention, that strong intention, no, I really want something good to come out of this from the session. And so as I do these mind expansion sessions, so during the session, as you know, what it is about, shifting the consciousness or the mind beyond the limitations of the third dimension of space and time to access the universe, the dimension, the creator energy, all there is that exists in the past, in the future, and in the now. And so when during the session, when we connected to the higher self of that person, the client, the higher self actually said that this person faced so many things in their life is because they needed to learn what trauma was, to experience it, to experience all the abuse, because in their life path, they have decided to walk on a path wherein they'll help those kind of people who have had those experiences. And unless and until that person, the client of mine, wouldn't have had those experiences, it wouldn't have been possible for the client to understand what it feels like and better help those people.
Right. And do you think that we kind of made that contract before we came here saying, I want to have these experiences, I want to go through this so I can learn this to help people?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we take birth in the spirit realm, we have a council of souls, and we also have our soul family with us that we are usually taking a birth with almost on a continuous basis. And we decide that, okay, they are going to be my parents, and I wish to experience these things in my life, like forgiveness. I want to learn compassion. Can you please give me pain so that I understand what's it like, and I can learn to forgive. And so a lot of times people think that, oh, why am I suffering? Why is that person happy? But it's like, you know, in school, if we don't have those tough exams and we don't have those challenges, we are never going to grow as a soul. So it's all about, you know, schooling here on earth.
It is. I grew up with my mother she had a incurable disease. And so I had to watch as a child her deteriorate. And so I didn't really have a mother figure. I had to watch this. And I was like, why couldn't I have the abilities when I was younger? Like, why couldn't I healed her? Why did she have to go through this? Yeah. So knowing that she made that, you know, decision to have that experience, I always felt so like hopeless, and I felt so upset and angry at times with God as growing up. But then I look at my mom now and I'm like, wow, you're a real hero, because you went through so much for our entire family to learn. We wouldn't be who we are. And also for even science, right? For what she went through. And so I just admire her so much more. Like, but I felt I was always so sorry for her. And now I look at it like, wow, what you did. And so I think people need to look at that. I've done sessions for people that have had miscarriages or lost a child early on. And they're like, well, why did they have to pass? And I've heard a child, several of them come and say, I just wanted to experience love. And you gave me that. And that's all I needed. Wow. And so we have to know that they're okay too, right? And that there was a reason that everything transpires the way it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also wanted to mention one thing also to our listeners, that I had taken a healing session for my father. Like, we had bought a healing session for my father with Debra, and it was absolutely amazing, because previously my father was feeling very weak and breathless, and the doctors had asked him to do tests for cancer.
And he also had a little lump on his throat, I think on his tongue, that was also there.
Possibly. I don't remember that. But yeah, mostly it was him feeling extremely weak, extremely fatigued. And I remember my brother saying that his skin color is, you know, is looking more...
He was more pallid.
Pale.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember when you did the session, of course, at that point in time, as you were, you know, mentioning previously, that he also fell asleep. He was totally asleep during the session. And I think he didn't feel anything. But of course, the moment he woke up, I spoke to my brother, and he said, I can see he has gained his regained his face
and
color.
The first
it's more
thing
red.
He said, you know, I feel hungry. Can I can I just have something? Just give me something to eat.
Because prior to that, he wasn't.
Wasn't he, for like 10 days or something?
No, he was not able. He was not feeling that hungry. He didn't have an appetite.
Yeah.
And so after the session, he ate. And I remember speaking to him after that. And he was like, yeah, I really felt good eating. And I'm feeling so nice. And I'm feeling really normal. And then I remember writing to you the next day and asking and just updating you about it. So that was truly amazing.
It was like instant. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that you were probably praying too. So collectively, we were just all holding that same intention. So I was so happy. So happy to hear that.
During the session, as you were mentioning, you when you conduct the session, so you have this picture of Jesus in front of you, and then you're just laying down and you have this intention and the spiritual surgeons come on, and what's it like? Can you just give us a gist?
Yeah, so I'll walk you through whether you're having being part of a group session or a private healing session. If you're going to connect with a reading too, like a loved one, I do that. Like I'll spend the morning connecting and then bring that into the session as well. So I'll take their picture. I'll hold their picture and I face it to a picture who I have of Jesus in the room. And when I look into the eyes of that picture, I feel the absolute one who I call God. You just feel it. Sometimes even the facial expressions will change. Like I'll be like, ooh, he wants me to be very straightforward right now. Or, oh, he's really happy. Like, it's amazing how you can feel the energy coming through the picture. So I take that picture and I face it. I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for bringing this, you know, the name, this person here today. Thank you for this healing. And then if they wrote what they are dealing with, some people like to tell me prior, then I place that into God's hands. Now, I don't limit it just to that because it could be what's the root cause or what else is going on in the body. But I do place this in the God's hands by saying, reading it verbatim, how they wrote it. And then when I'm done with that, I go through changing the words into a grateful prayer saying, thank you, God, for healing the cancer. Thank you, God, for healing the hips. Thank you, God, for, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually healing. Thank you for going to the trauma. Thank you for showing me the root causes. Whatever it is, thank you for this miracle that we're going to witness here today. And so it's longer than what I'm saying, but, you know, I really go through the steps. And then after the grateful prayer, then I'll lay on the healing table and I place their picture on my abdomen.
Yeah.
Right.
We had a little glitch.
The whole thing is actually given in your book, right?
Yeah, we have a little glitch. I can't see you. So hold on a second. There you go. Go ahead. Say that.
Yeah. So I think the whole thing is actually given in your book, right? You've mentioned that in your book.
I'm not sure if I mentioned the whole thing because, you know, I want people to experience it as I'm speaking. Right. Yeah. So I just say this is part of it. I don't tell everything that I'm explaining right now, but I do go on the healing table and then I ask for a beam of light to come down, which is God's beam of light to hold us here in the room so that you could be anywhere in the world. You could be sleeping. You could be working. You could be in college. It doesn't matter what you're doing. God knows what it is. So sometimes you might start feeling things the night before and I'll be told that. Sometimes I'll walk into the healing room and go, whoa, I feel already dizzy. They're already sedated. So I know the spiritual surgeon set the room up. So it's all really a process. And once that beam of light comes down, that's when the magic all starts. So energy is going to come through the beam of light. It's going to take things out of the body that needs to come out of the body. I'll see, I'll hear, I'll voice, and I'll, so I see, hear, feel, and voice. So I'll feel the pain. Right? Wherever the spiritual surgeons are working, I'm going to feel that pain. So sometimes it's excruciating and it'll be like in the middle of me talking, just, you know, I might see loved ones come into the room. We might go on a spiritual journey and have a conversation with God. There's so much that goes on in a healing session. And yes, I do write those things down in the book of what they might experience. And it's also on my website. So it's limitless and it's like walking into the room having no idea it's like what you're going to experience or witness. And then when you're finished, you're going to send that recording to to the client and they're going to listen to it. And they're going to be like, sometimes I feel things that I went through. Sometimes I feel nothing at all. It doesn't matter how somebody takes the healing. There's no right or wrong way to receive it. But it is really miraculous when it, like, I've told one person, like, you're throwing up right now. And she was throwing up right now.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? This person had a kidney bag on the right. How'd you know I had a kidney bag on the right? I didn't even tell you I had anything wrong with my kidneys. So it can be very detailed, or it can go to trauma. I've gone back to when a woman, she had breast cancer, and God showed me that at age 4, her mom was really, really sick and her dad was abusive. Her dad was angry with her and took her outside and shot their puppies in front of her. Trauma.
Oh my God.
So as I'm speaking this in the session, I'm seeing her as an adult and I'm seeing her as this young child. So I'm expressing, this is what you're holding on as your root. This is what you went through as a child. And when she listened to that, she's like, you wouldn't know that. I forgot about that. And so that healed it. And she healed from her breast cancer that she barely could even make it to the session. She thought she was going to die. And then she ended up hiking and everything after months later. So you never know. And I'm thinking, that was crazy. Oh my gosh. Now I'm going to send this recording and say that she had puppies that were shot by her dad. Right? That's what does, you have to really trust, like you do too. You trust what you're receiving. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing in the relationship with God is trusting. I couldn't do this work if I didn't trust it and if I didn't remove my humanness aside.
Yeah.
And it's just really miraculous. I feel so blessed to be able to do this work. And it doesn't come with hardships though, right? We all have the hardships that still come. Yeah. It's not like, oh, yay, she's this healer and everything's life is good. Nope, we still live the human experience and still have to go through hardships.
So you've also encountered people who think that this could be a woo-woo for them, or like, you know, they might ridicule you on this or something of that experience you've got in the past.
Yeah. Like, I'm not here to make people believe me.
Mm.
Right. And so somebody might listen to me and say, well, oh my gosh, you know, she sounds like she's just reading a book or just speaking. Mm. Well, I've spoken a lot of times, so it just comes naturally, right? It's who I am. But it doesn't matter if they don't believe. I've done a healing sessions in my book for a professor. He had Hodgkin's lymphoma of the brain and the spine.
Oh.
And he had 3% chance of survival with the most intense chemo and radiation. And we did the healing session on him. And 5 days later, Banner Anderson Hospital said, we don't see any trace with a spinal tap and a brain MRI. And they ran it twice because they couldn't believe it. They thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
He was skeptical. He didn't believe. And he came in, he's like, so he was in his, I think he was 70. And he said, why me? Why would God choose me to give me the miracle? I said, why not? Why not you? And so you don't need to believe to receive. Like some people say, well, you need to be open and believe to receive. I believe he came for the love of his family. He had a will. He wanted to live for his family. And his family is the one that found me and said, you just got to do this, Dad. And so it all connected out of love. Love heals on so many levels.
Yeah.
So Deborah, I just wanted to ask you if there are like for people who don't have that ability to really connect per se with the creator energy in the sense of really feeling it really strongly or hearing it strongly or visualizing it, how can people connect to the creator God energy?
Well, we all have the ability, right? It's whether we choose to, you know, it's whether we choose to open the door and how much we want to use our abilities. Right?
Yeah.
So we might get a nudge. Like I got that nudge to go to the conferences and learn about the afterlife, right? We get this knowingness that opens the door, or we just like, nope, I don't want anything to do with it. But if all of a sudden somebody gets sick and says, you know, now I want to know is there a God? Mm. You know, what do I believe? And I really feel it's like there is no wrong or right way to connect with God. God is love. That's how I feel. So you don't have to go to a certain church or be a certain religion. It's one world, one love. We're all connecting to the same. And so it could be as simple as just sitting and breathing and going, okay, I'd like to feel you. I'd like to know you. And how about even going to bed at night and say, could you hold me? And notice that you feel held, or notice that you feel like, wow, I slept better. It doesn't have to be an energy. It could be an emotion that changes within you. You could feel more at peace. Like you could be, like I said, sleep better. You don't have to see it or hear it like I do. Or it could just be a heart in your heart going, I just have this sense, but I don't know what it is, but I know that it feels good. Mm. Right? And I also believe that the most important thing is to put yourself first. Love yourself and love your body during, whether you're sick or not sick. You know, sometimes we go through such hardships in our life and we're like, oh my gosh, this week really sucks. Mm. But you're like, okay, but I can get through this because this is happening for me, not against me. So what am I learning from it? Not learning anything yet. But it usually comes back around and go, now I get why that happened. Mm. Just give yourself grace.
Yeah.
And that there's no certain right or wrong way. I remember when I first began, it's like, oh, how many books can I read on mediumship? I think that messes with you because now you're thinking, well, I have to do it like him. And I got to do it like this other person, rather than just saying, I'm going to do it my own way. There's no wrong way. You might develop something like I developed my gift my way. And I can tell you, I was afraid at first going, there's nobody doing this. So is this right? But seeing the outcomes and trusting and having the connection, it'll just unfold naturally for you instead of trying so hard. And let it be your own way, because so many people want to do it that way or this way. And I'm going to combine that method with this method. And it just gets too complicated. Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just, like I said, as simple as going, okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to take a deep breath. And now let me feel you and go, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful answer.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you. But before that, Jui, is there anything else you'd like to ask Debra?
No, actually, I think you've answered everything so beautifully and it's so inspiring. And it's just that, you know, how do we connect? And that you answered so beautifully. And I really feel that everybody listening over here should also follow as in follow your heart, follow these practices, not because you need to, but because you really want to and you want to connect to God. And because love is the starting point and the end point of everything. Mm. So we shouldn't forget that ever. So thank you so much.
We come in with love. We're born, and then we leave with love, being held in love. And I just really believe love heals all. I mean, think of a child that's sick and you hug them. They feel peace. They feel love. That's all God wants to do. And he loves us all, no matter what. Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted me to share a few of the other testimonials.
Feel free to, if you feel.
I thought like if I just shared a couple, people could get an idea.
Yes, please.
So this is interesting. So Tina had a private healing session and she's like, I laughed really hard when you started sneezing. And I couldn't stop sneezing. I mean, I'm sneezing like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Do you sneeze? And she goes, I sneeze almost every day and so many times. And then during the healing, my voice changed. My voice became very harsh, raspy. And she goes, my voice is rough. You really picked up on me. Most people think I have a cold, but I've had this since I was little. And so I tell you, like, how profound that is, because I'm now really taking on her.
Yeah.
Right. And so then she said her husband, he had a session. He had a rash for 8 years. They tried absolutely everything to get rid of it. And 2 days after his session, it completely cleared up and he's still clear.
Wow.
So yeah, you just never know. This person had a group healing and she said, I felt like I was in a dream state. So she actually felt like she was connecting in her space and feeling lifted. She said, it even started like right before the session. My first awareness was feeling wrapped around in a green light. And green is always healing energy when I see that. And she said, since the session, the gripping low back pain that I have experienced for months has vanished. I feel a strength in my spine I have not felt in years, like 35 years. I'm 69, so you can do the math, LOL.
Wow.
So you hear like, isn't that so cool? I just thought, like, you're hearing it like I'm hearing, and we're like, wow, right? One person said that they had asked for a prayer, and I think it was for a group. And he's like, I really appreciate this because I have no words to express the kindness because now my sister is able to talk again.
Oh, that's a huge deal.
That's
right.
Whoa.
Right. And then we go to emotional pain, because emotional, like, it doesn't have to be physical.
Yeah.
Judith, she had a private, and she said, I witnessed my son being so harsh on himself and others too, and so steeped in fear. But the love that you have shown him and us has shifted us from fear to love.
Wow.
So I just, and there's just so, so many. And I just wanted to share just a few. So you got a glimpse of a group, a glimpse of a private. And even this one, like Carol, she had a healing reading and she was going through a lot of chemo and radiation. And she said, I was feeling woozy, like under anesthesia. That can happen mostly because I'll feel the anesthesia going in and they'll feel that on their end.
Yeah.
And then she said, the pain in my right side of my armpit from nerve damage from lymph nodes were removed from all surgeries on that side since the cancer was found. But it's like it all happened a long time ago. And months down the recovery, my liver was swollen from all pharmaceuticals trying to filter out about halfway through. It was like I arose in a floating, like besides my body. And I was watching the waves of the healing go through my body. And I watched it reduce from swelling. There wasn't any redness anymore. And my urine from chemo, they told me was going to be 3 days, that it would be not clear. And it was immediately clear.
Wow.
That is.
And then she's like, my papa was there. She saw her papa. My papa was there with his hands on my feet. And I expressed that I see your grandfather holding your feet. And he's like, I now understand he's my guardian and angel. And that was a physically here on earth with me. I felt his embrace once again. And I'm lost of words for how grateful and thankful I am to relieve so much. The weight that I had in my head and in my cheeks when you said the surgeons were working on my brain and in my mind, I just feel so much better. Relief, relief, relief. So see how it was on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I don't know until I receive what they write. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to read just a few so that you have an idea of what it's like when I read them. And now you're hearing it like I am and you're going, wow.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
It's out
so
of-
thank you for letting me do that, because I've never done that like on a podcast before. And I thought, rather than me tell it, let them hear what I really hear.
Other people's testimonies.
And there are more on the book, right? There are more in the book.
There's more testimonies there. And also, like, if they want to connect with me, like on social media, I have the YouTube that tells lots of testimonials. So YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, but it's all Debra Martin Healer. And then they can go to my website too. There's lots on there. And that's how they can get to Army for Love too. They can come to our community.
Totally.
And you'll be there. You guys will be there. Yeah, so they'll be like, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
And to our listeners, at least I would say begin with by joining the Army for Love. It's a beautiful space and I love being there. We love being there every month.
Yeah.
And we are looking forward to the next one in October.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a nice way to get to know me and get to know the family and to get to feel comfortable and understand, especially through the little mini healing. And who knows, maybe you'll receive something that you need during that.
Yeah.
And those are free. This is free. Army for Love's free.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I feel that, you know, people spend so much money on hospitals and treatments. And I think that compared to if they also give this a chance, miracles are, as we have just heard from you, I think to some level, even my dad has experienced it. I think it never hurts. And I think there is so much more because, you know, when we speak of emotional release, that is something that no medicine can do.
You're right.
And I think that is something like, as you mentioned in one of the testimonials, that this person didn't have a memory of her dad shooting the dogs when she was a child. So something like that, the subconscious chooses to not remember it to protect the person. And so in that case, it's very hard to know what might be causing the problem. And something like that session can really bring it up. So that's incredible. And
even like they're too young to process it. They're too young because, you know, she doesn't know how to heal it or talk about it.
Yeah.
So I just had one more question. I had then actually two more questions then.
Okay, good.
Because as you're speaking, I'm having questions. So let's say if a person knows what the emotion and trauma is and they're already containing it within themselves, what is the best way for them to let it go?
Talk to it. I like journaling. That's what I did for my part of the healing, is I would sit with a notepad and I'd say, Spirit, God, help me release through journaling even things that I'm not aware of. So once you start writing the basics of what it is, more might start to come to you and you might start to cry. Crying is releasing. Allow yourself to cry. It might take several days, you know, of journaling. It might take weeks or months, but let it be your process and just say, God's going to reveal it little by little as we peel the onion. And sometimes we're afraid to do it all at once, because if we do it all at once, will I fall? Will I crumble? Will I, will I not be able to get off the floor? This is scary. Will I become suicidal?
Yeah.
Right?
You're inundated with so much of information. Yeah.
And so it's like, just be gentle with yourself, but ask God, help me get this out of me. Now, if that's too much for you, sometimes God is like, I don't want you to remember it. So maybe it's not going to come out in journaling. Like, you don't need to remember, like, because it's too painful for you. So I'm just going to take it from you. So I would just, before you go to bed at night, or I would say, okay, I'm still dealing with a lot of this pain in here, and it's all being, I know it's in my heart. I know it's consuming me in my mind. My body's feeling it. So as I sleep, Lord, will you heal me with your light and love and comfort me and take this away and see how you feel every morning? And then when you wake up, say, thank you, God. I know that I'm healing. So every day, a little bit is coming off. And maybe all of a sudden you recognize going, wow, I feel so great today, that you didn't have to go through the process. So it can come either way. It's however you feel. If you're too afraid to go there, then don't. Just say those. Like, it's like having that conversation with God. I'm too afraid to go there. I am so scared because I know that this is going to take me down. It's going to spiral me. I don't want to relive it. So God, I'm surrendering it to you so I don't have to. And so and then you trust it and allow God to work his magic through you.
That's beautiful. That's beautifully explained. Amazing. And my last question to you is, does God or the creator energy have any message for our listeners today?
Let's see. I think we forget two things I'm hearing. When I get a little bit emotional, I'm feeling emotion. So sometimes when I feel the presence, I get emotional. One thing is, stop and see the beauty that surrounds you. We're too busy. We're forgetting the beauty that God created for us to be in, to feel, to be present in that now. And secondly, I'm hearing we need more kindness. And so kindness spreads love. So when you smile at someone, just a simple smile, they're going to feel it. You don't even have to say anything to them. It's spread the kindness. Kindness raises the vibration in the universe. Kindness is going to help heal. It's like spreading love. If you want to go a step further, you can do a meditation just by putting on any music that you feel connected with, putting your hands out and saying, I want to send energy and love out to the world because the world is struggling right now. Whether it's the water, whether it's the environment, whether it's whatever it is, God, you know where it needs to go. And give 5 minutes of your time to do that. Light heals. They actually did a research study on a whole bunch of people that meditated at once, and they could see the energy change and how it was affecting people here on Earth.
Wow.
So each of us matters. So don't forget, you matter. It's not because we have to be in tune, be a medium, be a healer. We all matter and we all have our gift in a certain way. So know that you are light. You were born with light. Spread that light, spread that kindness, and know that you're a loving being just like all of us.
Such a beautiful message. Yeah. And with that, we come to a wrap, and it was such an amazing and beautiful interview that with you, Deborah. And once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And to all of you, to our viewers and listeners, you can also reach Deborah at deborahmartinhealer.com, her website, and all her other social media accounts can also be found with the same handle. And we will also be placing that in the show notes.
Thank you too, because it's like talking to family. You guys are so easy, and it's you meet people. I'm sure listeners have this, you know, you meet people online and you feel like, gosh, if they only lived closer, we could hang out and really be like, you know, why do we all have to live so far away? Why can't we just all live in the same community? But it just makes it more special this way. So thank you for being who you are.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And the same for you as well. It's always so easy to connect with you, and just having you there and just being a part of Army for Love, always I had that comfort level, that comfort in me for some reason, knowing that you are there and that Army for Love is there. It has always been very supportive for me as well. So thank you for what you do, Deb.
Thank you so much.
Well, I feel the same way of you guys. You're doing the work, and I just love, like when I turn on Army for Love and I see familiar faces like yours, I'm like, oh, my family's here. So thank you, and thank you for having me on your podcast. It's been wonderful.
Same year. And to all our listeners, I hope to also see you all at Army for Love. And so I think that's a good place for all of us to meet. And thanks to all of y'all for tuning in, joining us from wherever you are. And until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay blessed. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye.